RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Minister Rini Sumarno affirms President Joko Widodo to announce Pertamina CEO soon. Minister of Health organizes call for action to reduce the number of mother and newly born baby mortality. Now the news in detail. State-owned Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno said in Jakarta on Friday that President Joko Widodo will soon announce the name of new President Director of State-owned Energy Company PT Pertamina to replace Dwi Sucipto, who was dismissed from his position recently along with his deputy Ahmad Bambang. Minister Rini also said that the government, as the owner of the company, would maintain the structure of current board of directors, he said the President Director. Board of Commissioners of PT Pertamina had submitted three candidates from Pertamina executives for the company president director position. There are also candidates from outside Pertamina that reportedly include Energy and Mining Resources Deputy Minister Archandra, State-owned Plantation Holding President Director Elia Masyamanik, and State-owned Electricity Company PLED President Director Sofian Basir. Indonesian government will soon organize call for action activity. This activity is initiated by Minister of Health in a bid to reduce the number of mother and newly born baby mortality. Director of Health Family at the Minister of Health, Eni Gustina, said in Jakarta on Friday that this activity, about to take place on March 14, 2017, is the ending of program Expanding Maternal and Neonatal Survivor, or called locally a MAS program, that has been held since 2012-2017. She further stated that the program is collaboration between Indonesia Minister of Health and United States Agency for International Development, USAID. She also explained that the program has been organized in 6 provinces, 30 regencies, 150 hospitals, and 300 community health centers or PURKESMAS. Annie Gustina views that during the program, Indonesian government succeeded in increasing the performance for mother and newly born baby salvation. She also hopes that the program can be adopted by various regions across Indonesia.
Nah, selama rentang waktu emas ini sudah menunjukkan perbaikan kinerja dari teman-teman di daerah. Kita tahu kalau kita bicara kematian.
There was a lot of improvement during the expanding maternal and neonatal survival emas program. We were talking about mother and newly born baby mortality. We have to highly pay attention to three things: basic service system, reference system, and reference process. During 2012-2017, we have done many things, and a lot of examples could be adopted by central or regional governments. Furthermore, Annie Gustina remarked that call for action to take place on March 14, 2017 has been preceded by several workshops. From the latter, the central government recommended regional governments to continue the expanded maternal and neonatal survival program. Besides, the health minister encourages improving the service quality for mother and newly born baby through accompaniment, quality improvement for emergency, and quality improvement of electronic communication. Moreover, the minister also urged the regional governments to improve inter-program and inter-sector management to strengthen the service for mother and newly born baby, and he hopes the expanding maternal and neonatal survival program that has been organized in South Sumatra, West Java, Jakarta, Banten, Central Java, East Java, and South Sulawesi is able to be continued. State-owned disadvantaged minor PT Aneka Tamban Antam aims to submit a proposal to get an export permit for its nickel in early April in the wake of the government's recent decision to relax the mineral export ban. Earlier this year, the government decided to relax the export ban for low-grade nickel with content less than 1.7% along with copper concentrates and was bauxites, in return for a commitment from mining companies to meet several requirements including the development of new smelters within 5 years. On March 2nd, the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry issued the technical guide for processing export permits. Through the relaxation of the ban, Antam will be able to re-establish its relations with its long-time traditional partner Japan. Hence, Antam is optimistic it can get back on its feet this year following poor financial performance caused by a drop in nickel prices as well as by the presence of many nickel smelters in recent years. National flag carrier Garuda Indonesia kicked off the Garuda Triple Fair JTF on Friday, an event that would take place through March 12th in 24 cities including Jakarta, Medan in North Sumatra and Manado in North Sulawesi. The Triple Fair will have booths from travel agents, hotels, resorts, theme parks, national tourism organization, corporate and travel equipment, media partner and state lender Bank Negara Indonesia BNI as its partner. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno said on Friday that so far the event has been dominated by participants to promote domestic destinations. Garuda Indonesia also maintains support to the 10 emerging destinations including Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara, Lake Toba in North Sumatra, Tanjung Lesung in Banten, and Bromo Tengger in East Java. In Jakarta alone, Garuda targets 207.3 billion rupiah or around 15.4 billion US dollars in sales volume during the event, with 77,000 visitors, while the national scope Garuda eyes the transaction target of 380 billion rupiah. Young residents of 23 low-cost apartment buildings or Rusun across Jakarta are expected to participate in the Jakarta Low-Cost Apartment Festival, GRF, when Peru Sports events for children and teenagers will be held in March. The Jakarta administration plans to offer various events during the festival, including basketball, skateboarding, and soccer training by professional athletes. But soccer training would be conducted in each apartment complex involving the Jakarta Youth and Sport Agency and the Indonesian Football Academy for Youth. The young residents are also invited to see basketball matches for teenagers less than 18 of age on April 1st and 2nd at the Bulungan Sports Center, South Jakarta. The JRF was held for the first time last year. This year it also consists of events aimed at empower residents such as cooking competition, culinary festival, and creative economy training. An actress and filmmaker Olga Lydia is set to produce a biographical film of Indonesian boxing legend Elias Pikal. The idea was expressed to journalists during a visit by Youth and Sport Minister Imam Nahrawi and Olga to Elias residence Tangerang Banten on Friday. Elias, 56 years old, just got out from Harapan Kita Hospital in Jakarta after being intensively treated due to suffering a heart attack in mid-February. Olga, who accompanied the minister during the visit, said that she was in the process of bringing the biopic movie project into reality. In response, Elias said that he hopes he could recover immediately to join the project. The last item, Manchester United will return to Indonesia to host the country's fourth Light Fan event. This was announced by the English soccer club. The fan focus hashtag I Love United event will take place on March 19 at the Gelora Bung Karno Sport Complex in Jakarta and will be attended by club legends Dennis Irvin and David May, the club said in a statement. Throughout the day, United legends are scheduled to meet fans and sample local culture in the lead up to a live match screening of Middlesbrough versus Manchester United. Fans are also encouraged to test their skill in an accelerating game on bubble football created by the club's global noodle partner, Nissin. The competition will see teams of three players battling it out against each other inside a giant, inflatable bubble. The overall winning team will take away an all expensive paid trip to all transport to see a Manchester United home game. The hashtag Love United Indonesia is free to attend, and fans are asked to apply online for tickets by visiting manutd.com. I love United Indonesia by no later than Sunday. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various significant events that occurred this week were reviewed in the editorial of the leading media published in Jakarta and are outlined in the press review. Let's start with Media Indonesia newspaper, which in an editorial on Tuesday, March the 7th, wrote, Jakarta KPU integrity at stake. The success of a local election is not only seen in the results, but also the process. That's because democracy, which is the basis of the election, is more of a process or a means rather than results or objectives. The election at the level of the process must be fair and equitable. Unfortunately, honesty and fairness on election organizers are often questionable. Media Indonesia wrote, the campaign in the second round of the Jakarta election, which runs from Tuesday, April the 7th until April the 15th, said to be the discretion of the election commission or KPU is unfair. It's because it was merely the result of the subjective and interpretation of the Jakarta KPU on the national KPU rules. There are others who interpret differently. PKPU, for instance, just mentioned when the election take place in two rounds, there will be just the process of sharpening vision and mission. Jakarta Election Commission interpreted it as the holding of a political campaign, though not as big as in the first round. Some political experts and election observers interpreted it as no need for a campaign in the second round. Jakarta Election Commission, as the election organizers, had decided there should be a campaign in the second round. All parties hope that the second round of the campaign take place in the calm atmosphere without too much noise. According to Media Indonesia, in the first round, Jakarta election was crowded with issues related to ethnicity, religion, race, and intergroup, which seem to have become a commodity. Therefore, all parties warned the participants not to make noise during the campaign until the election day on April the 19th. Turning to Business Indonesia newspaper, which in an editorial on Tuesday, March the 7th, wrote, to become the world maritime AX. On the sidelines of the royal visit of the King of Saudi Arabia to Indonesia, the country welcomed the heads of state attending the summit of the Indian Ocean Rim Association held in Jakarta from March the 5th to 7th. The Indian Ocean Rim Association, or IORA, is an organization of intra-Indian Ocean founded in 1997 in Mauritius. IORA consists of 21 states and 7 partner countries. IORA is the pioneer and the only regional organization in the Indian Ocean. The region plays a strategic role in the world economy, in which international trade from Asia to Europe and vice versa interconnected. Indonesia became chairman of IORA for the period of 2015 until 2017 and set the theme of strengthening maritime cooperation in a peaceful and stable Indian Ocean. It is not a coincidence that Indonesia brought the idea of strengthening maritime cooperation in the IORA. In accordance with the vision and mission of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala government from the beginning, Indonesia will serve as the pivot of the maritime world. For the first time after 72 years of independence, Indonesia expressed its desire to have the national and international ocean space governance, which are secure, peaceful, just, and prosperous, and eventually are enshrined in IORA. Moreover, in the last 2 years, many parties have been impressed by the bold step of Indonesian Marine and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujiastuti, who ordered to burn or detonate foreign vessels caught stealing fish in the Indonesian waters. On the other hand, the prestige of the Navy has been increasingly lauded for always be at the forefront in maintaining the sovereignty of national waters. Well, that was press review over Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on March 11, 1966, when President Sukarno issued Super Semar. The Super Semar, the Indonesian abbreviation for Surat Perintah 11 Maret, which means Order of March the 11th, was a document signed by Indonesian First President Sukarno on 11 March 1966, giving the Army Commander Lieutenant General Suharto authority to take whatever measures he deemed necessary to restore order to the chaotic situation during the Indonesian killing of 1965-1966. The abbreviation of Super Semar is a play on the name of Semar, the mystic and powerful figure who commonly appears in Japanese mythology, including Wayang Papisos. The invocation of Semar was presumably intended to help draw on Japanese mythology to lend support of Suharto's legitimacy during the period of the transition of authority from Sukarno to Suharto. The next event was in 1990, when Lithuania proclaimed its independence. Lithuania proclaimed its independence from the Soviet Union on 11 March 1990. The government of Soviet Union answered the aid of Lithuania by imposing oil and economic embargo and sent forces. Finally, in 1991, Soviet Union was ready to recognize the independence of Lithuania and the other Republic of Balkan, namely Estonia and Latvia. And the last event was in 2004 when bomb attacked commuter line in Madrid. The bombing incident, which happened in Madrid on 11 March 2004, consisted of several explosions at some station of commuter line in Madrid, Spain. There were more than 190 victims and 1,500 injured. This terrorist attack was the worst in Europe after Lockerbie event on 21st of December 1988. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today, it's on Australia-Indonesia Explore Cooperation in Transportation. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi had a meeting with the Australian Minister of Development, Communications and Local Government and Territory, Senator Fiona Nash, in the office of the Ministry of Transportation in Jakarta on Thursday, March the 9th. In the meeting, they discussed cooperation in the fields of transportation, especially air transport. After the meeting, in a joint press conference, Minister Budi Karya said they discussed specific areas of aviation and travel. Minister Budi Karya said it was how the connectivity of the city of Jakarta, Bali, to Australia. In addition, Australia offers two interesting spots in Brisbane to be developed by Indonesia and to open a route for flights between Indonesia and Christmas Island. Furthermore, Minister Budi Karya explained that Indonesia and Australia had a forum on transportation sector, which are regularly held to discuss cooperation in transportation. The cooperation forums are incorporated in Indonesia Transport Assistance Package. As the continuation of the cooperation between Indonesia and Australia, the two sides agreed to hold the Indonesian-Australia Transportation Forum that was held in Bali from April the 5th to 7th. The forum aims to provide policy direction of transport cooperation between the two countries as well as discuss necessary measures to improve cooperation in the transportation sector by land, sea, or air. The meeting also discussed connectivity between Indonesia and Australia. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya offered Australian cruise ships to anchor in Lombok so that other destinations can be developed in addition to Labuan Bajo and Bali. so far two Indonesian airlines, namely Garuda Indonesia and Indonesia Air Asia, already operate scheduled flights from Jakarta and Denpasar to Sydney, Melbourne and Perth. Likewise, the Australian airlines Qantas, Jetstar Airways and Virgin Australia also operate flights from Australia to Denpasar. In a press conference, Minister Budi Karya also released data on Indonesia and Australia cooperation in the field of railways and the field of training and education. In railways, they signed a memorandum of understanding between Indonesia and Director General of Railways, Chief Executive of the Australian Railway Association in 2012 about the regulatory standards that are used in integrated rail safety and security management system. While in the field of training and education, there was an MOU between the Human Resources Development Agency of Transportation with Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology in 2013 related to English language education and testing in the field of aviation. Well, that was Focus over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. State-owned enterprises minister Rini Sumarno said in Jakarta on Friday that President Joko Widodo will soon announce the name of the new president director of state-owned energy company PT Pertamina. Indonesian government will soon organize call for action activity. This activity is initiated by Minister of Health Chinabe to reduce the number of mother and newly born baby mortality. Director of Health Family at the Minister of Health, Eni Gustina, said in Jakarta on Friday that this activity is about to take place on March 14, 2017. Is the ending of program expanding maternal neonatal survival MS program that has been held since 2012-2017. State-owned diversified miner PT Aneka Tambang Antam aims to submit a proposal to get an export permit for its nickel in April, the wake of the government's recent decision to relax the mineral export ban. National plate carrier Garuda Indonesia kicks off the Garuda Travel Fair (GATF) on Friday, an event that would take place through March 12th in 24 cities including Jakarta, Medan in North Sumatra and Mado in North Sulawesi. Young residents of 23 low-cost apartment buildings or RUSEN across Jakarta are expected to participate in the Jakarta Low-Cost Apartment Festival, JRF, when various sports events for children and teenagers will be held in March. An actress and filmmaker Olga Lydia is set to produce a biographical film of Indonesian boxing legend Elias Pikal. The idea was expressed to journalists during a visit by Youth and Sport Minister Imam Nahrawi and Olga to Elias' residence in Tangerang Banten on Friday. Manchester United will return to Indonesia to host the country's fourth live fan event. This was announced by the English soccer club. The fan focus hashtag I Love United event will take place on March 19 at the Gelora Bung Karno Sport Complex in Jakarta and will be attended by the club legends Dennis Irvin and Demis May, the club said in a statement. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Bandung, West Java. Stay tuned. Listener, Bandung in West Java province has many tourism destinations which can be explored, starting from natural tour, cultural tour, until culinary tour. So many tourism destinations sometimes make tourists to be confused to decide which place to be visited. Because of that, in today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism objects in Bandung which has been well known since 2014. It is Stone Garden, which still becomes favorite place for tourists. Listener, Stone Garden, or also called Cipatat Geopark, is a unique park. Generally, Geopark is the one with green trees. It is different from this one tourist destination. At this area, there is a unique overlay of rock mountain. The overlay of the rock is not just outspread on land. The rock is so artistic and it makes the visitors not feel like in Bandung. Those rocks are in big size and varied limestones, which are arranged like having a mathematical formation. Experts estimate the rocks are 27 million years old. Listener, to go to Stone Garden from Bandung City, you can be through Purbalenyi Toll and out at Padalarang Toll. Arriving at Tagok Apu, there is a gate with Reading Goa Pawon at the left street, which is the gateway to Stone Garden. To the location of Pawo Cave and Stone Garden is close each other. If you want to visit Stone Garden, local people will appoint the close parking space with the location in order. You don't have to walk too far. Listeners, Stone Garden usually becomes place for pre-wedding with charge around 300,000 rupiah. To enjoy beautiful scenery, tourists must pay entrance ticket 6,000 rupiah per person. The tourists who drive their own vehicles must pay parking space 5,000 rupiah for car and 2,000 rupiah for motorcycle. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Stone Garden in Bandung, West Java. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back again with me, Ajeng, in our segment Miscellany. Listeners, since 2007, former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono has declared a national program of planting palm in Indonesia. The budget worth around 60 billion was prepared to make this program successful. The potential area for planting the palm is estimated to reach about 6,500 hectares, spreading in North Sulawesi, Southeast Sulawesi, West Kalimantan, East Kalimantan, West Java, Central Java, East Java, North Sumatra, and East Nusa Tenggara. This palm revolution is not without a reason. A palm tree produces lots of bioethanol and the best producer among the other plants. Today's edition on Michelin is about the palm trees that provide benefits and reduce global warming. Listeners, the global warming happens when the temperature rises. This has begun since the Industrial Revolution in the late 18th century. The aim of the Industrial Revolution is to achieve the bigger profits because the use of the machine is considered more efficient than using manpower. In fact, behind the progress of the Industrial Revolution, another problem such as global warming emerges. Because each used machine will produce exhaust gases from the burning which poses pollution. This pollution is usually carbon dioxide, which is the second largest factor that causes global warming. However, the factors of pollution are most likely to be controlled by human to reduce global warming because most CO2 is produced by human beings themselves. In contrast to water vapor that evaporates by itself. Then, what to do with palm tree? Palm or Arenga pinnata merrill spreads widely in Indonesia. In Indonesia, there are lots of palm trees that grow in hills, mountains, and valleys. All parts of this plant, either physically, such as leaves, stems, roots, or the production parts, such as fruits, juice, and starch or flour, can be utilized as a human's benefit. Take for example, palm juice potentially produces bioethanol. It was reported that bioethanol will replace the fossil fuel whose supplies are limited ahead. Besides, the supplies are unrenewable. The carbon emission that emits may bring about disaster. The greenhouse effect caused by carbon emission of fossil fuel poses a significantly high temperature. Listener, palm tree can produce 40,000 liters of ethanol per hectare per year. If the price of the bioethanol for 10,000 rupiahs per liter, the income will reach 400 million per hectare per year. This number still has to be reduced with the production cost estimate around 30% until 45%. If the net result from the income is about 50%, the farmers still earn profit. By planting the palm tree, the farmers gain two benefits, material and non-material. The profit is like financially better. The non-material benefit is that the farmers can reduce the global warming from bioethanol produced by palm juice. Listeners, that was for Michelini with topic Palm, Gaining Profit, Reducing the Global Warming. See you again in another occasion with interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRIWO Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Andira. To initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Menghilang.
Mungkin semua salahku sejak awal. Cinta, meski tahu asmara kita takkan sanggup kemana-mana. Oh, 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 betapa bodohnya aku, tak bisa lari dari bayang-bayangmu. Seakan diriku terpenjara, oh kasihku. Meski di
Listener, the singing world in the country is never devoid in the presence of the female singer newcomers. One of them is Andira. Through her works, Andira succeeded to give fresh color in Indonesian pop music. Andira has begun her career in singing since 2012. She officially released her first album, entitled What I Love, in the mid-2016. The album was released after Andira has decided totally to focus on industrial music since 2012. The album, which consists of 10 songs, strengthens with single Menghilang. The video of this song was uploaded on YouTube 2 months before the album was released. Inspired by Joss Stone and other singers, Andira claims her music having vintage pop genre, which is probably sounded antique, but it is actually not old. The woman who has Java Manada blood and was born March 8, 1995, said that creative process Menghilang song was jointly done with Duo Ilman and Lale from Malik and The Essentials and also Neo from Run. The song combined artist art which involved in creative process by orchestra touching. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Sampai Janji Terucap.
Suci itu
Listener, that was the second song, entitled Sampai Janji Terucap, which was composed by Ario Seto. This song tells about a woman who asks her lover to wait until holy promise is said. Sampai Janji Terucap is the first ballad song of Andira. The song was released in 2014. The woman who has soft voice has released a single entitled Enya in 2012. Well, listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs entitled Enya dan Biar Semesta Bicara. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Sekian lama kita telah bersama menjalin cerita. Ku bertanya-tanya semua kata yang pernah kau ucap. Kau memang benar setia, tapi di awal saja. Enya, kau ada di fikiranku. Semua bayang tentangmu, yang ku tahu dirimu tak serius denganku. Entah sampai berapa lama kan ku dengar kata cinta. Ku tahu dirimu tak serius denganku. Tak pernah tulus datang dari hatimu. Namun ku tak peduli, kan ku buang kau dari hati ini. Enya, kau dari pikiranku. Semua banyak tentangmu, yang ku tahu dirimu tak serius denganku. Entah sampai berapa lama kan ku dengar kata cinta. Ku tahu dirimu tak serius denganku. Tak ingin, tak ingin, tak ingin lagi ku denganmu. Oh, oh, oh. Kan ku katakan saja tak ada lagi cinta untukmu. Enya, kau dari pikiranku. Serius denganku. Entah sampai berapa lama kan ku dengar kata cinta. Ku tahu dirimu tak serius denganku. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah, yeah. Kan ku dengar kata cinta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Terima kasih. bicara.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.